To shout somebody in this place. Come on, if you're thankful for what the Lord has done, for what he's doing, what he's going to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have a mighty God or what?
Yes, we do.
Hallelujah. Tell somebody, say, we got a mighty God. You don't need to worry. You don't need to fret. You don't need to be afraid. Amen. A mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Yes. So we've got three baptismal certificates to pass out tonight. We actually have four. One of them is not here. First of all, let's congratulate Sister Misty. We'll call her Sister Cox. Amen. Come on up, Misty. We baptized her this morning at the end of the service. We're so excited for what the Lord's doing for you. Glory to God. Our picture taken right here. Congratulations. And then we have Callahan Hawkins, who we baptized last Sunday. Callahan, come on up here, Callahan, my grandson. We're proud of him. That one she's holding wants to get baptized. He almost hopped in the water last week. And then Mason just keeps wanting to be recognized. He left his here last week, so I said, I'm going to give it to you again. Congratulations, Mason. I don't know if we got a picture last week or not. Let's get a picture. We're not doing it a third time. He's putting it under the seat. Don't put it here. Let me have it. His dad plays drums. So, dad will make sure it gets home, not wrinkled, tore up, and framed. Right, Tyler? Amen. We wore Tyler out. He had to go out and recuperate, I think. God's doing great things. Great things. And, last week we celebrated with Amanda. She received the Holy Ghost last Sunday night. Amen. Somebody say great things. Great things. These are kingdom things the Lord is doing. This morning, if you weren't in here this morning, I preached a message titled, And Then Some. We took our text from Matthew 14, where Jesus fed the multitudes with the loaves and fish. And the Bible says when he got a hold of that little bit and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And the Bible says, and they did all eat and they were filled. And they took up the fragments. We really preached this morning about the fragments, that leftover part, that remained 12 baskets full. And we preached about how that the Lord is able to meet our needs. Somebody help me now. And then some. He's a God of exclamation points. He's a God of added benefits. He's a God that loadeth us, David said. Lord, daily you load me with benefits. And I want to just preach part two tonight. I didn't get done this morning. So I just got a little bit left to preach. And I just tell you what, if I would be brief, would you just respond to the word tonight? Would you allow the Lord to continue to do a work in this place? Whatever you need tonight, I don't know what you need, healing, delivered, the Holy Ghost, maybe. Somebody needs to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Maybe you just need a breakthrough. Maybe you just need to touch the hem of his garment. But whatever you need tonight, it's here. It's in the house. It's in the house. You can be seated in the name of the Lord. Thank you for standing and thank you for responding in your worship tonight. We don't read where anybody asked Jesus to multiply the loaves and fish. He just did it. It was his idea. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:20 that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So if we can think it, he's already able to do more than that. If we can think it and ask it, he's already able to do more than that. And I'm thankful somebody said, well, if we don't ask, then we'll never get it. I'm thankful that's not exactly true, because I think there are times where the Lord drops it in our spirit. He drops it in our heart. We wouldn't have asked for it, but he dropped it in our heart to begin to long and desire and to formulate the thoughts that maybe if I prayed for this. Have you ever had a prayer, had an idea to pray something that was so ridiculous, you didn't even want to share it with anybody but the Lord? If you went up to somebody and said, I'm going to ask the Lord to multiply these little bit of fish and loaves and feed 20,000 people, they would laugh at you, and you would be a little bit intimidated by that. But there's just some things we can only take to Jesus. Right. Only he'll understand. Amen. And so it never occurred to them to even ask. And he was there. The Bible says that they were bringing to him sick people. All day long he was ministering to the sick. He was healing their bodies. And then at the end of the day, that it was the disciples' idea to send the multitudes away and say, it's getting late in the evening. They need to get home before it gets too dark and find food for themselves, or we're going to be in a mess here. And Jesus was the one that said, well, they don't have to go away. Let's feed them here. See, Jesus, sometimes he's just getting ready to do something spectacular when we're getting ready to go home. I'm already preaching. God's ready to do the miraculous, and we're already thinking about the pot of chili we got on the stove at home. Come on, somebody. God's ready to heal somebody. God's ready to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. God's ready to bring great revival. God's ready to answer wonderful prayers that we've been praying, and we're already on to the next thing. Maybe every once in a while, we just need to slow down and pause just a little bit and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, as long as you want to take to do it, I'm here. I'm just going to linger in your presence. So he multiplies the loaves and fish. Everyone is fed. Everyone is filled. And now he says, go around. He didn't leave anything on the ground. He told them, now go around, take these baskets, pick up the leftovers, because I want everybody to realize that I'm not just a God that will supply your need. I'm a God that will supply your need and then some. I'm a God that will give you more than enough. I'm a God that's going to load you. And in fact, if you'll do it my way, doesn't the Bible say something to the effect that if we would bring the tithes into the storehouse, that if we would give what God has required of us to give, doesn't the Bible say he will reciprocate, only not in exact proportion? In fact, the Bible says if we bring our tenth, he'll open up. This is the way it works. I pull out my purse, my wallet, little bitty thing, and I pull out of all my income, I pull out 10%. That's really a little bitty thing. And I bring that to the Lord. And the Lord says, when I give that into his storehouse, he doesn't open up his little change purse. Come on, are you with me tonight? You know where I'm going with this. He doesn't get out his little wallet. He doesn't pull out a little wad of ones. The Bible says he opens up what? Come on now. The windows of heaven are opened up. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know exactly what it means, other than when God opens the window, he's not doing it to let fresh air in. He's doing it to pour blessings out upon his people. So when I do it God's way, he says, I will pour you out a blessing that you're not even able to contain, because God will bless you with more than enough. He'll give you what you need and then some. You won't even be able to carry it. It'll be falling out everywhere. You won't even be able to contain it. It'll be running over everywhere. You'll have enough to bless your family and other families too. How many believe that? Say amen. He took the little bit, blessed it, gave it to the disciples. And they did all eat, and they were all filled. Everybody in the house was filled. Everybody in the field was filled. I believe that God would do a work here tonight, that everybody would receive whatever they desire of the Lord. I believe that tonight. I believe that tonight. Isaiah said, behold, the Lord's hand is not short, and that he cannot save, and his ear is not heavy, that he cannot hear. So if we don't have it, it's not a shortage problem on God's part. It's not a hearing problem in his ears. And then James tells us, and I preached a little bit this morning. I'm just rushing through. I want to get you up to speed. But this morning we read from James chapter 4, where James says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, or from? Isn't this where they come from? Even your lusts that war in your members, not lust of the flesh that lust after sinful things, but just selfishness. I want what I want, and I'm not too concerned about what others want. And when I get that way, when you get that way, and I get that way, we're gonna fight. We won't get along very well because you'll get in my way, I'll get in your way. And James says, this is exactly what's going on with the church right now. You lust, you want things for yourself. You're not thinking of others. You're not loving your neighbor. You're not putting your brother before yourself. You want your stuff. And because of that, you're fighting, you're warring among yourselves. And he said, you need to get this right because don't you want the windows of heaven open in your life? Don't you want the Lord to just be able to bless you whenever you ask, whenever you need it? But it doesn't work just any old way. We can't just live any old way, act any old way, have any old attitude, and everything just be coming into. We've got to get under the spout. We've got to position ourselves wherever that is. We've got to find it. We've got to get there. Say, I've got to get there. He says, even of your lust, wars in your members. You lust, you have not. You kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight, you war. But he says, you have not because you ask not. There's a concept here. We're so busy worrying about everybody else and what everybody's doing or not doing that our prayer life just kind of fallen off. We're not talking to the Lord. We're not praying as we ought. And then he said, but I know some of, and James is smart here. He's like a pastor. He knows whenever he says something, he knows there's somebody that's going to say, yeah, but. And so James beats them to the yeah, but. And he says, oh, by the way, I know some of you do ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. But then he went on to say, you got it up there? He says, you ask and receive not. I know some of you are going to say, but I do ask. He says, but you're not receiving. Why? Because you've got that filthy attitude that wants it for yourself and because you're asking amiss. You're asking in vain. Why? Because you're asking based on your own desires, your own selfish lusts. And I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, whoever's watching tonight, when we get this thing in our lives Bible right, when we get it God right, when we get positioned where we should be, you don't have to beg God to do anything. God is looking for opportunities to multiply loaves and fishes, give you blessings enough that you can gather it up in baskets full and go out into the world and begin to distribute, begin to be a blessing. You be a minister. You be a light. You change the world. Come on and clap your hands to the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now go with me, if you would, to the book of Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 17. First Kings 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, said to Elijah, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself from the brook, by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. In other words, I've got a place for you where I'm going to provide for you during the drought. And so the Bible says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. I want you to catch this, how this is not complex. If we would just do according unto the word of the Lord, amen, we'll be okay. I don't know what's going to happen in this world. Not exactly. I know some things. Prophecy says that this world's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Those of us that serve the Lord, we're not going to find it more comfortable in this world. We'll find it less comfortable. We may even undergo great persecution, maybe in this world. We might even undergo prosecution. Who knows? What? We do not know where we are headed exactly in the United States of America. But I do know this. Whatever happens, God is going to take care of his own. And the key is not for us. Now listen, if the Lord tells you to go store up a bunch of food and, you know, and store up a bunch of, prepare yourself for all of the doomsday and all that stuff, you know, that's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to tell you to do that. I'm not doing that because I just feel like that's not necessarily biblical. I don't see where the Bible tells us to go storing up food, storing up all kinds of protective gear and all of these things. The Bible says, as you see that day approaching, that we need to work more in the kingdom. The Bible says that when we look out at what we need to see is the fields of labor. We need to see the harvest, that it's ready to be harvested, that it's white and ready to harvest. Not that we need to be running for cover, but that we need to be running to lost souls. And the Lord is able and will take care of his own. He told Elijah, I know I'm going to bring a drought upon the land, just like I told you to tell Ahab, but I've got a place for you. I've already got it picked out. I've already talked to certain birds, and they're going to go to certain places because God has supply that we don't even know exists. He's not only the supplier, he is the supply, and he can supply your every need. Don't tell God how to do it. Just let God tell you. When we do it God's way, it works. So he did, and he went, and he did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens, sure enough, those ravens that the Lord commanded, they did exactly what the Lord commanded them to do. And the Bible says that they brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and they brought him bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook, and he was just camping out and taken care of and surviving while everybody else was trying to ration and figure out how to live and how to get by, and he was doing okay, wasn't he? Until we get to verse 7. And it came to pass after a while. Isn't it amazing how we can be doing so well? And then after a while, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard that phrase in my office from somebody, Brother Hawkins, everything was going so well for a while. We were getting along so good for a while. Then we came back from the honeymoon and for a while we were doing good. I was doing so good for a while. Then they laid me off. We were doing so well for a while, and then I got tempted and I fell off the wagon. I was doing so well for a while. I said, but here's the thing. God sees past your while. God's never taken off guard, thrown a curveball. God already knows what your tomorrow holds, what your next week holds. Now we don't, but God does. And so God wasn't surprised that the brook dried up. He knew it was going to dry up. He just had him positioned there for a season. Everybody say season. God knows seasons. He knows when to bring you in and take you out. He knows when to move you here, move you there. And if you'll listen to the Lord, he'll have you moving just exactly where he wants you to go when he wants you to be there. And after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Okay, so the word of the Lord came unto him saying, now you got to listen to the Lord every day. Get up, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I love the way the Lord's already working it out. Before we ever get there, God's already got it all worked out. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman. Now, it doesn't say a widow woman. It's the widow woman. That means it's the very exact same widow woman, Brother Kaufman, that the Lord has already commanded. That woman. He knew it was her somehow. There she was gathering sticks. And so he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, I'm not going to be long, but I want to walk you through this just a little bit. And I want you to think for a moment, put yourself in the position of, I've often preached it from the perspective of Elijah It would have to be hard to ask a poor widow woman who's barely got anything to fetch anything for you. Would you agree? You men have me worried that you don't agree. Wouldn't that be hard to ask a woman? Some of you are thinking it'd be hard to ask any woman to fetch me anything, let alone a poor widow woman about to die. Well, especially a widow woman who's about to die, who just got a little bit left to eat, and to say to her, fetch me some water. Well, I'm not going to preach from that perspective, but what about her perspective? Here's this woman. She's suffering the same drought that Elijah is suffering, and she's got a child, and she has no husband. And the same brook that dried up on Elijah has dried up on her. Come on now. She's been rationing out her food and her meal and her flour and everything that she needs to bake and to cook. She's been thinking, oh, this drought has to end by this day or we in trouble. You ever been there? If we don't get something soon, the cupboards are going to be empty. She's already figured this all out. And here comes this man of God and says to her, fetch me some water. Now, listen, I love all you ladies. I do love you. But I know some of you. And I know that if this man walked up to you and said, fetch, they wouldn't get the word me out. Right? We would never get to the comma. And certainly, if you're already thinking, I'm going to die. And he says, fetch me. And he said, please, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And so here she goes. Go to the next verse. So as she was going to fetch it. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But maybe she had to really bite her tongue. All right, Lord. I'm doing what you said. You told me to sustain the man of God. If you sent him to me to help him, so he's just off. He's just asking for a little water. I can give him a little water. This is my water. It's my boy's water. I can do this. Biting her tongue, just kind of walking away. And then as she's going, he said to her, "Oh, by the way, I love all you ladies. I do." But I know some of you. And that would have been the breaking point right there. I can almost see her face. All right, I'll get you some water. Oh, by the way. Yes. Brother Elijah. Bring me a morsel of bread too in your hand. Go ahead. And she said, okay, look, I'm telling the truth as the Lord liveth. She says, I don't have a cake. I don't have anything baked. All I have is a handful. What if I say handful? That's not enough to live on. That's just enough to die on. I've got a handful of meal in a barrel. You ever notice when you put just a little bit in a big container, it looks even smaller? She's been looking in that barrel thinking, when I draw out that last handful, it's going to be the last trip to the oven. It's going to be my last sit down with my son. It's going to be the last. And now here's somebody asking me to expedite my own child's death. That's really what he's saying to her. Give it to me. Don't use it for your boy. Give it to me. He said, look, I only have a handful of meal. It's in a barrel. I've got a little oil in a cruse. I'm gathering these sticks to make a little fire. Everything's small. I'm going to make a little fire that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it. You ever see those little bite-sized muffins? That's what she's getting ready to fix. I'm going to eat one. He's going to eat one. And then we're going to eat it. And die. So surely, Brother Elijah, Brother Carl, would say, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know all you had was enough for you and your boy. So, see, Elijah already knew the Lord had spoke to him. And Elijah already knew the Lord had spoke to her. Elijah already knew the same God that kept him alive this long, come on now, can keep all of them alive all the way through the drought, all the way through the famine, all the way through. Because he's a God who can meet your needs and then some. So Elijah didn't even hesitate. He just said, don't be afraid. Go. Do as you have said, but make me therefore a little cake. Everybody say first. Now listen to me, and I'm out of your hair. The reason why. Can you handle a strong word? You can handle anything strong as long as it's just a little bit. Just the best way to do it, just turn it up, boom, swallow it, okay? The reason why a lot of people in the church struggle is because they have not got this whole order of who should be first. We struggle with it. We struggle with it more than we want to admit that we struggle with it. This has to be the ultimate test. I got just enough for me and my boy to eat and keep us alive another day or two or three, and we're going to die. And you're saying, give it to the Lord first. Now, I don't know what I'm talking about personally to you. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm not preaching about tithes right now. I'm not preaching about money right now. I'm preaching about whatever it is in your life that God requires that you're holding back. You're reserving. It's his anyway. I really believe if the woman had said no, she would have been robbing God. You cannot rob God with one hand and expect him to fill the other hand. You cannot withhold what God has said for you to release and put your hand out and ask him to bless you in the other hand. It will not work. God will not do it. It is not word. It is not scripture. It is not the order. It is not the way God said this thing works. But when we put God first, when we put him first, let's see what happens. Go make me, therefore, a little cake first. Bring it unto me. And after that, you can make for you and your son. Did you not hear me, Elijah? I got just enough for me and my son. We're going to eat and die. Okay, 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, if she'd cut him off there, told him off, sent him down the road, she's going to eat a little cake and die. You with me? But that's not the way this story ends. And it's not the way our story has to end. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal that you got just a little handful of right there shall not waste. It's not going to run out. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail. It's not going to run out. Until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth, you're going to be covered. Go ahead. So she went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. You getting this pattern here? Do as the Lord says. Hey, you want to go to heaven? I hear everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody always wants to go to heaven. Maybe not today, but they want to go to heaven sometime, someday. So you can't just say, well, I want to go to heaven and just live any old way you want to live. You got to live according to the word of the Lord. You got to repent. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's scripture, is it not? Am I in an apostolic church? Yes. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Bible, isn't it? Amen. Didn't Jesus say you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God? You cannot see the kingdom of God. Is that Bible? Yes. That's not wrong. That's Bible. That's right. So, If Jesus says that's the only way to get there, that's the only way to get there. So one of two things will happen. You'll either do, Linda, you'll either do according to Linda's will. Can I say this and not offend you? You will go to hell. That's Bible. I would have said it even if it offended you. You know I would, because I love you. Because I love you. This patty cake business that's going on in pulpits where we don't want to tell people they'll go to hell is costing people their lives and their souls. Folks, I hate to tell you this, ain't everybody going to heaven. Some people are going to hell. That's Bible. And I've never seen a preacher want to preach a funeral that somebody going to hell. We don't like to think about it. We don't want to do it. We don't want to talk about it. And I've never seen anybody go to a funeral and talk about they were lost. We just don't like to think about that. But here's the thing. If you don't live according to this word, you've got to be saved according to the word. One of two things will be preached at your funeral, either, and they did according to the word of the Lord, or else we just have to find some other nice things to say about you. We got to stay out of the scripture and just talk. Is this too hard? No. This is truth. I've preached many funerals. Some are hard, some are easy. And they're not easy because we're glad they're gone. We're easy because we know they lived according to the word of the Lord. They preached their own funeral. All you got to do is open the Bible. See this? That's how they lived. Sister Bain, bless her heart, one of the easiest funerals I ever preached because all I did was talk about Sister Bain. Well, she did this according to the word of God. She did that according to the word of God. Sister Axum, our pastor's wife for years, did this according to the word of God. She lived her life according to the word of God. Brother Axum, I didn't have to try to think of things to say. I had to pare it down so we didn't keep you here all day long. He did this according to the word and this according to the word and lived his life according to the word. Those are easy funerals to preach because when you live according to the word of the Lord, your own life is your own funeral message. It's your own testimony. Things just happen. Things will fall into place. Your marriage will be blessed if you live according to the word of the Lord. Your kids will be blessed if you live according to the word of the Lord. Your finances will be blessed if you live according to the word of the Lord. Your health will be strong if you live according to the word of the Lord. Your mind will be at peace if you live according to the word of the Lord. You won't fight and bicker with your brothers and sisters if you live according to the word of the Lord. You'll love your wife as Christ loved the church if you live according to the word of the Lord. You'll submit yourselves to your own husbands. Wives, if you live according to the word of the Lord. Young people, listen to me. You'll honor your father and your mother if you live according to the word of the Lord. I thought I'd get more amens out of those people. You won't sass them, backtalk them. According to the word of the Lord. We make it difficult. It's not difficult. God says it, do it. Nike stole the good sermon title. Just do it. The Lord said it, do it. This is good preaching anyway. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. 16, I'm done. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Music, go ahead, come, would you? Neither did the cruse of oil fail. I don't know how the Lord did it. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know. I know she had a handful of, according to her, she had a handful of meal. She had a little oil in a cruse. So maybe every time she went to pull out a handful of meal, she'd reach in again and pull out a handful of meal. And she'd reach in again and pull out a handful of meal. Well, I'm looking at great-grandma's recipe today. I need 5 handfuls of meal. There's only one in there. But there's one after another, because I live according to the word of the Lord. Sometimes God just kind of lets us live by faith. The Bible doesn't say that the barrel was automatically full. It just didn't run out. Now, I'm just kind of filling in my own blanks because I think it preaches good. I like to think of her just going in there, getting a handful at a time. That's all that was in there. That's all she needed. When the Lord gave the Old Testament church manna from heaven, they were told how much? Gather up what? Just enough for today, right, sister? Just enough for today. Why? Because God's got your tomorrow covered. God, I don't have to see a barrel full of meal. I know next time I reach in there, it'll be there. Because I'm living according to the Word of God. I don't have to be a millionaire to sleep at night. God's going to take care of me. Why? Because I live my finances according to the Word of God. Anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Watch. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. We do our part according to the word of the Lord. He'll do his part according to the word of the Lord. His is not even based on contingencies. If he said it, he'll do it. If he says, do this and I'll do that, you don't have to wonder if he's going to show up. Stand with me, would you? Oh, praise God. He is able. And then some. I don't know who I've preached you tonight. If I've preached to anybody, I don't know. But I do feel like that God would just have me to tell you tonight. To stir up your faith. Trust him. Somebody say he's able. Somebody say he's got this. I don't know exactly what you're dealing with, going through, not all of you, but I know this. I know a God who didn't let a barrel of meal run out for a poor little widow woman because she did according to the word of the Lord. He did according to the word of the Lord. If you do what God said to do, God will always do what he said he'll do. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked way, seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. Here's a word for you from the Lord. Quit complaining, there's only a handful. Rejoice over the handful. In the name of Jesus. If you have a need tonight, I think if you'd come to this altar, I believe the Lord would bless you if you'll come. Come, give it to the Lord. I'm asking you to walk from where you are to this altar and then let the Lord do the rest. Is your heart right? Is your mind right? Is your spirit right? If not, take a moment. Talk to the Lord. Get right with God. Bring your needs. Come and talk to Jesus. What do you need tonight? Lord, I need peace. He's got it here. And then some. Lord, I need a healing. He's already purchased your healing. And then some. He owns it all. He possesses it all. Altar's open. Would you come? Lord, I pray your blessings on your sweet people tonight. I pray, God, that you would stir our faith. God, there are those that are in need tonight of encouragement. They need you tonight to encourage them. They need to feel your mighty strength. Let them feel it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, there are those that have been a while since they felt any joy. Lord, I ask you to help them look down there at the bottom of that barrel today, where there's a handful of blessing. Remind them that they're not going to run out. Remind them, God, that you're the God of yesterday and today and tomorrow. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Come on, is there somebody else tonight you want to come? You want to come and talk to the Lord? Come on, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you get your heart right with God? Why don't you give the Lord your life tonight? Somebody here tonight just needs to pray through. The Lord would love to help you tonight with that. Hallelujah. The Lord is blessing. The Lord is going to bless. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, God, I pray your blessings tonight. I pray strength. Pray encouragement. Pray healing. Hallelujah. Lord, you know where your people are. You know where they are. Come on, church. I need some people out there to begin to pray. Would you pray for those that are up here? Some of y'all that don't need it tonight, maybe you could gather around those that do. Come on up here. Let's create an atmosphere of faith and believing, worship and praise. Would you do that? Come on, would you respond tonight? Would you come up? Just stand around this altar behind your brothers and sisters. And let's pray the blessings of God down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.